for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This tape is entitled Discerning of Spirits. It's tape one of four tapes on demon activity by Reverend W. L. Duncan, a minister of deliverance and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Reading from 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, and the first and the second verses, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, as we have already mentioned in our studies on the nine gifts of the Spirit, that from the very beginning of time that many have departed from the faith. Paul the Apostle speaks to Timothy here. He said that in the latter times, he said people shall not only depart from the faith, but they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, as we move on into the realm of the supernatural gifts, and also in the realm of the revelational gifts, which we have considered the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits, and as we have considered very much in our studies, and we want this to become revelation to you, because in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 6th verse, it tells us, For he worketh all the nine gifts of the Spirit in all who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in the 7th verse there, But the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every man to profit withal. Now, as we have mentioned before, many times the devil will think, Well, I'll allow that person to realize that they can give a tongues message. I will allow them to realize that they can interpret and to prophesy to a measure, but I'm going to keep the believers feeling that they cannot move into the realm of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and especially the gift of discerning of spirits, because he knows that we will walk on his territory, and it will expose the works of the devil. Now again, I would like to mention here that demonic activity shall increase more and more in the last days. In other words, we can put it in plain or language when we say that actually in these days, and the closer we come to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater the move of God, the greater the glory of God to be revealed, that there's going to be more and more activity concerning the demonic realm. We must stand upon the scripture, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. How then will the saints stand against it? How will the devil be unmasked? It will be by the gift of discerning a spirit. Now, this gift completes the cycle of the revelational gifts. Everything within the realm of knowing, facts, events, purpose, motive, origin, destiny, human, divine, or devilish, natural or supernatural, past, present, or future, comes within the focal range of one or another of the revelational gifts. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and as we have already mentioned, the gift of discerning of spirits. They include in their comprehensive survey all that God knows, and there is nothing that God knows that may not be made known to man. Now remember this, there is absolutely nothing that God knows that he will not share with man as a need arises, and as a spirit wills through the agencies of one or more of these gifts. Even though we have mentioned it before, so it will become reality in revelation to you, I feel that it must be repeated, that the gift of discerning of spirits possess a much more limited range than the other two. Its powers of revelation are restricted to a simple class of objects. It differs from the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and that its object, as well as its operation, is entirely supernatural. For as the gift is called, and as it is implied, the gift of discerning of spirits. The other revelational gifts, though exactly equally supernatural in operation, are not equally supernatural in the things they reveal. The objects of their revelation are often on the natural plane. The gift of discerning of spirits shows the spirits operating through a person, whether heavenly or hellish. The gift of discerning of spirits gives supernatural insight into the secret realm of spirits. All right, now let's go on here. As we have told you in one of our studies before, that all the way through the Word of God to Genesis through Revelation, that there are three spirits. there is the divine that you must remember, and the divine spirit will not come in without invitation. Then there is the satanic spirit, which will come in because of birth, or because of circumstances, or because of a person choosing to open up areas to sin and that which is not pleasing to God. And the devils will move in and demons will move in without invitation. And then there is the human spirit that is always present. And after a person has been delivered, this is where the human spirit comes in and plays a big part to discipline the flesh, to discipline your life, to keep your areas filled with God so that the devils can't come back again. Now, I would like to mention one or two things of what discerning of spirits is not. Number one, that the gift of discerning of spirit is not psychological insight. When a spiritist, a palmist, or a crystal gazer reveals some secret in a life, that measure of the supernatural has its source in the pit. Now remember that. Many of these magic mongers are pure frauds, possessing no power of any sort. And listen, saints of God, it is very dangerous for believers to consult fortune tellers and the like, because it gives Satan an advantage to take control of areas in their lives. Many Christians are fooling around today with fortune tellers, with magic mongers. They're fooling around with spiritists, with palmists, with crystal gazers and all, and they're trying to get the answers of their life for today and the future, when they should go to their secret closet and know the still small voice of the Lord. And the minute that a person will open up and they will go to these fortune tellers and so forth that we've just mentioned, you're on dangerous ground and you're going to need deliverance, because that moves into witchcraft, it moves into idolatry, it moves into many things that the enemy will take advantage concerning demon powers in your life. So leave them alone. Number two, the gift of discerning of spirits is not given or is not the power to discover the false in others. Not one of us requires the Holy Ghost baptism to endue us with the gift to criticize and to find fault with others. We all have possessed of this by our fallen nature. But one of the purposes of the Holy Ghost baptism is to destroy the spirit of criticism and to replace it with the sweet gift of gentle forbearance. I believe that as the believers walk on into the revelational gifts, the devil will not have a chance to destroy their lives and to separate congregations and to bring bondages and divisions between the saints of the living God that are moving on into the things of the Lord. And one of the things that is cursing our churches across America, I hear it every place I go, and the Christians are saying, oh, our church is so divided, there is so much schism, there is so much bickering, there is so much division, there's so many hard feelings, one will not have anything to do with the others. This is the reason we need a baptism of love. This is the reason that there must be a revival to stir in the hearts of people, and that we must realize that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Christians are coming to the place that we're beginning to realize that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Now, saints of God, nothing will destroy the yoke except the anointing. But the more that we realize that the anointing abides, that the anointing does not come and go, we realize that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Now, many times, as we have studied in our studies before, people feel well concerning demons that's on the outside of the church. And as we repeat it over and over again, and it must be repeated because it's against the old school teaching, even in Pentecost, that it's impossible to be saved and to have demons, and that it's especially impossible to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and to speak in other tongues, and yet to be possessed of demons in areas of our lives. For you that haven't received the tape on that, you must receive the tape on how the demons will come into areas. And just because we say a person is demon-possessed does not mean that that person is totally demon-possessed in every area of his life, but the areas that have been opened up to sin, the areas that have been opened even in birth, and the areas that have been opened because of circumstances are actually areas that is not controlled by the person, but is beyond the normal, and it is controlled by demon powers. Now we find that demon powers have actually taken up their abodes actually in the Christian realm and behind the pulpit and so forth. For we read in Ephesians the 6th chapter and starting with the 10th verse, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And as we read of the wiles of the devil there, it speaks of actually the methods of the devil. Now, the method that the devil may come against you will not be the method that he'll come against another person. The method that the devil will come against me will not be the method that he'll come against you or somebody else. And this is a reason that we are admonished in the Word of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. In other words, that we may know the way that He is working, that we may be very conscious of the warfare that is going on in the Spirit. And there's no way that you can know this unless you put on the whole armor of God. Because in the natural realm and in the human realm, you'll never be able to cope with demons. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I would like to say here that the moment that you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you are born into the family of God. No longer are you just a natural earthly person, but you actually become a spirit being. And the only way that you're going to walk the faith of the Lord and walk and keep in the household of faith is to realize that no longer you're just earthly and you cannot cope with the powers of the enemy in the earthly way. There's no way that you can do it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It goes beyond that. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, as we have mentioned several times before, many times as God begins to move by the Spirit, perhaps there'll be the chairman of a board. Perhaps there'll be a good board member. Maybe it might be the best Sunday school teacher or the youth leader, the pastor, the evangelist, or someone that the whole congregation has felt has been so righteous, so holy, and so forth. And as God begins to move and that person comes for ministry, many times the pastor, the leaders of the church will say, well, that's my best board member, or that's the best deacon in my church, or that's my Sunday school superintendent, or that's our youth leader. That person cannot be possessed of demons. Now, that is a light from the pit of hell. The devil has no respect for your position. The devil doesn't care what cloak you wear on the outside. I don't care what position you're in, and this is where it speaks of spiritual wickedness in high places. You can be the leader of a great group. You can actually have authority and move into many areas, and God will use you to a great measure. But no matter what your position is, and again I say here, no matter what cloak you wear on the outside, if there are open areas in your life, remember that the devil will come in without invitation, and because of those open areas, irregardless of the position that you have or the way that you're looked up to, the devil will not respect your flesh because he has no love for your flesh of your possession. Remember that. And that's the reason the Word of God tells us that revival must begin in my house. It must begin in the sanctuary of the Lord. And in our ministry in the last few weeks, I've never seen a time when actually the Spirit of God has moved in with travail, with intercession, with the ministry of people coming for deliverance, even in mass deliverance, as we have shared with you in the other tapes. And there's been such a deep move of the Holy Spirit when the temple is being cleansed by the Spirit of the Lord. And when I speak of the temple, I'm not speaking of some earthly building, but I am speaking of the individual life before God, because our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And oh, that we might realize that the fallow ground needs to be broken. May we realize that serpentines and many other demons have come in, and we've prayed and we've fasted and we've shed tears. We've gone to altars and we've said, oh God, help me to walk the victorious Christian life. But saints of God, until those demons have been commanded to leave in the name of the Lord, there's no way that you can deliver yourself. But thanks be unto the name of the Lord that when the word is spoken and said that there is deliverance in Zion. And when it speaks of deliverance, it speaks of complete deliverance in the name of the Lord. Now, in the beginning of time, God made a perfect man. We were made in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. And I believe with everything that I have within me, and according to the Word of God, that when God gets through with man, that he's not going to have just a half person. He's not going to have a distorted person. But he's going to have a whole man, matured in Christ, grown up in the nature and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ, the full maturity of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord, and I am complete in him. You have no idea what that scripture will mean to you as it becomes revelation to you. Now may I say here again, for the benefit of those perhaps that haven't listened to the other tapes, that many times ministers and leaders will think that a move of God just brings joy and revival and blessing. I thank God for the blessings of Pentecost. I thank God for the blessings that the joy of the Lord is our strength. But when God begins to move by His Spirit and there is cleansing in the temple, it goes much farther than just a sanctuary full of people. It goes much farther than just our coffers being filled and big offerings being taken. It goes much farther even than divine healing. Thank God for those who pray the prayer of faith. For the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Thank God for the miracle working power of God. But, beloved, it goes much farther than that. And this is the reason that so many leaders will stand against it. They'll say, well, I'm afraid for somebody to come in that God is using, and they're not afraid to move in with the gift of discerning of spirits. And you know why they're afraid? Because they're afraid that the very secrets of their hearts will be made known. And those things that have been going on in private, those people that have been living a double life and no one has found out about it, they're afraid that those things will be exposed because of the Spirit of God moving. We've gone into places, and as one by one, as young men, young women, older people, ministers and all, they've come to the private delivery room, and they say to me, I prayed for years, this has been in my life, and I prayed for years that God would sometimes send a man that would know in the Holy Ghost and discern that this has been going on in my life and bring deliverance to me, because I've tried to no avail. I've tried to walk a walk of victory, but it's been impossible. Oh, saints of God, this is the reason I'm sold on this ministry, because as we begin to move into the realm of the nine gifts of the Spirit and realize that even in your own life, you that have never moved in and allowed the Spirit of God to operate through you, that you personally have power over all the powers of the enemy. And that as the believers come to this place, that you will realize that if your husband is demon-possessed, you can discern in the Spirit. You can take dominion over those demons and cast them out in the name of the Lord. The husbands that will discern that there is demon possession in their wife, they can move in with the authority that is given them in the name of the Lord, and deliverance will be brought to that family. Mothers and dads can discern very rapidly if demon possession has taken control of areas that have been open in the lives of their children, in rebellion, in anger, in strife. Yes, and in all these lust drives that are so prevalent in the world today. And this is going to be the restoring that is going to take place. The husband and wife are going to be restored. And they're going to have greater joy and peace than they've ever known. The children that have been so rebellious against mother and dad are going to receive deliverance. And the family is going to begin to flow together. And there's going to be joy and peace in the family unit as they've never known. Because each member of the family has been delivered. And it's not just a human element involved. That there have been demonic spirits involved, and as they are all free from them and realizing the truth that has come in their deliverance, they shall flow together as God has intended from the very beginning. Listen, saints of God, if there was ever a day the spiritual atmosphere needs to be restored in the Christian family, is today. How many Christian homes can we walk into? You don't find the television glaring so loud. You don't find a radio all on with all this beatnik music, that you can't find that the wife is so frustrated and she's angry at her husband and so forth, the husband at the wife and the children. If there was ever a day that we needed to have the peace and a quiet spirit restored to the home, and that we have rest and security that we can impart to our children, that when these older saints are gone, I want to tell you the world misses something, because as I ministered even in a service last night, that there is one thing that many of these older saints of God that have left, and it's been the gift of faith that has been passed on down to the children and the grandchildren. Many of these older saints of God did not have money to leave, houses and lands to leave, but I'll tell you, they left something much greater than houses and lands. They left peace and security that was imparted to the children. And many of us that have grown up with these older saints of God, as we've looked at them, I mentioned even in a sermon late, and I said there's one thing as we looked at them, we said, well, mom didn't have a problem, so-and-so didn't have a problem. Yes, they had a lot of problems, but I'll tell it did not bring frustration and unrest to them, because they had peace and rest and security in the Lord that actually brought such peace and rest in the home that has been passed from one generation to the next. May our hearts be challenged as mothers and dads and the grand folks that are listening to this. May we go to our secret closet, and may we not have taken on such a spirit of the world that we're so driven that we don't have time to take with our children. Ministers, I want you to listen to me right now. We can get so busy ministering to everybody else that we allow our own family to go down the drain and for the devil to take advantage of our family. Sure, we're ministering. We're bringing deliverance to others. But unless it works in our own home, unless the husbandman is partaker first, how can we impart to somebody else that which we do not have? Because as you've been listening to my ministry long enough now, you know that we reproduce after our kind. If there is uncleanness in mother and dad, there's going to be uncleanness in the children. If there is uncleanness in the children as they get married, there's going to be uncleanness in the grandchildren. If there is uncleanness in the board members, if there is uncleanness in behind the pulpit, if there is uncleanness in the leadership, now this is getting right down to where we live. But I'm not concerned about just preaching who's going to be the Antichrist and what's next on God's program and a lot of these things that our time has been taken with. I'm not concerned about just preaching a clothesline gospel and allow all of these things that have come in that have separated husbands and wives, that have separated parents from children and children from parents, that have separated the pastor from the congregation and the congregation from the pastor, and yet we have been afraid to do anything about it because we felt that we're going to put our hand on the sore place, and that's exactly what it's done. But that has been brought nothing but chaos and division. That's only strengthened the powers of the enemy that has been so prevalent and have been so prevalent in our own hearts and our souls. And may we as men of God be stirred to the extent that we will put pride aside, that we will put hypocrisy aside, that we will put even our standing aside in the community and even in the organization that we belong to. And we will come to the place that we'll say, Lord, we're going to have deliverance at any cost. And as husbandmen, we're going to be partakers of deliverance, and we're going to receive deliverance and walk in victory. And we will see this same victorious life produced in our congregation, in the teenagers and in the young people. Because we can blame the world for much of this sin that is in the house of God, and yet those worldly people have not come near. This has been produced in the house of God because of the lack of deliverance. I'll go to my grave preaching this message of deliverance. It takes strength to do it because many times reproach goes with it, rejection goes with it. And the minute you begin to move into this, naturally the devil, the first thing he will do is send out lying and deceitful demons to lie about the person, and it brings us to the place that actually there's no reputation left. That doesn't make any difference because we stand in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that when we walk in to possess a land that belongs to the children of God, that the devil has actually taken it, and we haven't realized that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. As I mentioned so many times in our meetings across the land, I thank God for the joy when God begins to restore. But in many of our meetings, the greater the move of God, naturally the demon possessed will come in from hundreds of miles around, yea, even for thousands of miles around, because they're crying out for deliverance. During a service, many times they'll begin to scream out, they'll froth up the mouth, and people say, well, this isn't revival, this is fanaticism. If this were revival, everything would be done so decently and in order. And as I have mentioned to you many times before, that which is God's decency and in order is not the order of mankind. I'll tell you, we haven't been made in the Christian realm to be in the order of the cemetery, but we have been made to walk into the order that God has given, because Christ is the deliverer, and we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and there is deliverance in Zion. And as we have brought out in these studies so many times, the word Zion means elevated or a lifted up place. So remember, saints of God, allow the Spirit of God to dig deep into your hearts and souls. The Spirit of God will never flow through unclean areas. I believe in the ministry of travail, that you cannot travail out demons. Travail will break up the fallow ground, making your human spirit ready and willing for these demons to be cast out in the name of the Lord. Remember, Jacob's wells had become filled, and after they had become filled, naturally no clean water could run in until they said, go forth and dig out the wells. It's about time in our Christian realm, even in the Pentecostal realm, that we begin to dig the wells and to dig deep. It's about time, as the Word of God tells us, to begin to dig the ditches. It's about time that we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to clean us from the inside out. And as David said, he said, wash me and I shall be made whiter than snow. He said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. As I have moved into travail myself, I thank God for all these powers that have come in, the power of God that has come in to break up all this fallow ground and the cleansing that has taken place. But even this week, I had a touch from God concerning travail that was so precious to my own heart and soul. I don't have words to explain. It was like the Spirit of God just reached so way down. And such a cleansing, body, soul, and spirit. And you feel just as a newborn babe in the Lord. Listen, we need this restoration. growing in the house of God. And until as believers we come to the place as little children, we're childlike in our faith, we're going to forget about that we know so much. Much learning have made thee man. When we know so much about God, we feel we know so much about the devil, we feel we know so much about religion. I'll tell you, we can know a lot about God, we can know a lot about religion, but it's about time that we know the power of God and his fullness. It's about time that we know the deliverance that is in the name of the Lord. It's about time that we not only know that they overcame him by the blood. Thank God we overcame him by the blood, but we also overcome him, the devil, by the blood of our, by the word of our testimony. Many of God's children are coming to the place that they have a word of testimony, and they're testifying to that which God hath done for them and in and through them, and that they are actually going from glory to glory and from victory to victory. Now, as we move on in the realm of the Spirit, and many times as we make tapes like this, and the minute that we began to minister this in a congregation, naturally the demons in a person begins to be stirred. And naturally, as we feel this stirring, there'll come disruption, there'll come chaos, and many times if we don't understand in the realm of the Spirit, people will say, well, if this revival, why all the disturbance? If this is revival, why all the riot? If this is revival, why all the people fighting against it? Listen, from the very beginning of time, and you mark this down and you can read it down in church history, every place Paul the Apostle went, there was revival or a riot. We as ministers of the gospel have gotten to the place we're afraid to move into this realm because we're afraid that ministers won't have us for meetings. If we get to the place that no person would have me for a meeting, I would still declare this message from the housetop. I would go to cities, I would go to villages and rent a hall or on the street corner and preach it, and people would come in that are open and receptive for God. For listen, beloved, the Spirit of God is going out and the call is going out around the world, and there is a stirring within the hearts and the lives of people. People have to live with themselves. They're sick of playing church. They're sick of three songs, a prayer, and a good sermon, and then for everybody to be dismissed at 9 o'clock so they can watch My Line or I Love Lucy and all of these other programs that they're so anxious to get home to. Why has that become so predominant among the Christians? Because there's been a lack of the move of the Holy Ghost. And many people, if you could talk to them that have been in our meetings across the nation, many times the meetings last from 6 to 8 and 10 and 11 hours, one service. And people that don't understand and ministers that don't understand will say to me, well, what in the world do you do in that length of time? Listen, when God begins to move, the teaching of the Word begins to come forth. There is revelation on the Word, not something that is apart from the Word, but revelation begins to come forth on that which we haven't understood. We move into the victory march. We move into, as a whole congregation, praising God in the dance. We move into the high sounding praises of God. And we've just gotten a new record and a new tape release, and it's called The Liberation of the Saints. You'll hear the saints moving together. They begin to sing in other tongues before God, and I'll tell you, many times naturally we move in the natural, we move in the flesh to start, but as we move in the natural to start, the Lord, the master pianist, will come down and he begins to play upon the heart strings, and it brings forth music that we have never known in the natural. I've never heard such beautiful singing in all my life. And one by one, without even announcing that there's going to be a testimony service, you can hardly hold the people down from testifying because of the glory and the power and the release and the deliverance that they've had in the name of the Lord. Now, I know that this gospel and this message that is coming forth now is not popular among many Pentecostal denominations. No one knows this better than I know. Many of the ministers will say, well, can't you come? Can we have revival without everybody playing tambourines? Can we have revival without all the saints moving in and praising God in the dance together? And I want to say something about here. The old Pentecostals, and I was a believer in this myself when I first began to move in, I said, well, I believe in dancing if you dance in the Spirit. There's not one place in the Word that tells you to dance in the Spirit, but the Word of God is full from David the king on down. And even when he was criticized for praising God in the dance by his own wife, and she laughed and she mocked and she made fun of it, and from that day on his wife became barren and she never brought forth children because of standing against that which was of God. Let me tell you the reason that the church is so barren today, and the reason that the church is not producing children, and the reason that many are not being born into the family of God in the church of the living God today, is because the church has scoffed and laughed at that which is in the Word of God. And the Lord said in his own words in Matthew, he said, everything that has been spoken in the law of Moses, everything that has been spoken in the law of in the prophets, everything that has been spoken in the Psalms concerning me will be fulfilled. This includes a victory march. This includes praising God in the dance. And David of old said, let them praise him in the dance. And the word let means to allow. And he said to allow them or to let them praise him in the dance were in the congregation of the righteous. Oh, I believe it's divine order for the entire congregation. I wish many of you could witness as many of the young men, the young women, the adults, the young and the old will begin to flow together and to move in the realm of the Spirit. This is known as spiritual activity. The church has become bound today. The church is sick today because of the lack of flowing in the Spirit concerning the realm of the Holy Ghost. And I want to say this in connection with the ministry of casting out of demons. With the casting out of demons, there must be joy manifested. Never leave a service where demons have been cast out in sadness, with a heavy feeling, with despondency. Always move in and allow the Spirit of God to flow in and through you. For I'll tell you, if you don't, the devil will take the advantage afterwards. Now, I want to share scripture with you concerning that, and you'll say, well, how does this tie in with demon possession? It ties in with demon possession because as we gave you the scripture that Joel spoke by the Spirit, said the Lord said, I will restore to you the years that have been wasted. And he said that all the trees and so forth have been withered away because joy has withered away from the sons of man. Now as demons are cast out, there are areas that are vacated by these demons. And unless those areas are filled with oil and wine and joy and barley and the Spirit of the living God, unless the joy of the Lord becomes our strength, those demons will go out, and if they don't find a place to enter into, they will come back and they say, yes, I've left that area is still open, so I'll move in again. And they not only move in with one demon, but for every demon that was cast out, seven more will move in. This is the reason I'm great for spiritual activity, and this is according to the Word of God. And in Jeremiah 31, I want you to notice the 10th verse. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. And therefore, notice the 12th verse, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and they shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be in the watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. And notice the 13th verse, this is the word of the Lord. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the souls of the priests with fatness, and this is concerning the ministers, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, the 16th verse, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they that shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, and thy children shall come again to their own border. And I believe that as there is joy in the house of the Lord, and for these that have gone away from the Lord and not walking in fellowship with the Lord, it said that thy children shall return and come into their border. And I believe that as the young and the old will move in after deliverance to the joy of the Lord, when these who have been away from the Lord, and these that have been so bruised by the powers of the enemy and many things that have taken place for years and for years and for years, that when they do come back to the house of the Lord, that the table will be spread with good things, and there will be more to be had in the house of the Lord than in the workshop of the devil. Now remember this, there's been such a dearth in the land. Many of the churches haven't had much to offer to people, so they've gone the way of the world. But just like the prodigal son, when he returned home, the father placed the ring on his finger. They killed the fatted calf. There was dancing and there was rejoicing. Remember, take the word of God. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall float together to the goodness of the Lord. Thank God for days of joy. Thank God for days of restoration. Thank God that demons are being cast out in the name of the Lord. But we go far beyond that because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we will say together, who is this King of glory? And those that have come to Zion, those that have come to Jesus in Jesus' name and have been delivered with unity and with one spirit, we will say together, the Lord of hosts, He is King of Glory. We shall continue to work together. We shall continue to pray together. We shall continue to march together. We shall continue to flow together in the goodness of the Lord. And we shall continue to allow the new wine. And the best wine is always given last. And the God's people that live near the appearing and the approaching of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will know a joy and the peace that the early church has never had. For each time that God restores, it's never a lesser amount. It's never an equal amount. But it's always greater glory than the group had before. So remember this, they shall come together to the height of Zion. Reading from 1 John, the 4th chapter, and the first 4 verses. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How hereby know ye the Spirit of God? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Thank God for that. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now this can bring comfort to the heart of God's people. For he said, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Many times people say, well, it's impossible for me to overcome. I feel that the devil's powers are so great, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. When you come to the place of deliverance, you will realize that greater is the power of the Lord within you than the power of the devil and the spirit of the world. And then John mentioned here, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And if you'll notice that, that's plural. He said, try the spirits, not to try the spirit, because there is one spirit, there is one Lord, there is one baptism. And as we have been teaching and as we have been studying together, the Lord will always lead us and he never drives us. And when the Lord speaks to us, it won't be many voices that will be speaking from the outside. And any time that you hear a lot of voices from the outside, you be very, very careful about that, because it says to try the spirits, plural. But you can know the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will lead you into all truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now today in our study, we're going to consider several different spirits. And I know as I start this message today on these different spirits, and as we mention about the different ones, as you are conscious of these spirits being stirred in you, know that that is demon possession. Don't be afraid to confess it. You take the tape that we have sent out already as we prayed the mass prayer of deliverance, and as we come to the mass prayer of deliverance, you allow that the word of command, that the command has been given in the name of Jesus, because he said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And as we come against those demons, you go to a place, to a sink, or you get you some kind of container, or go to the bathroom, and as those spirits begin to stir, you allow them to come out and spit them out and allow the Spirit of God to drive them out in the name of the Lord, because the command has been given. Now, many times with these spirits, we're not conscious that there are so many of them until we actually get exposed to them. We see people delivered and we begin to hear people testify. And I'm going to name several here. Number one, we're going to start with the spirit of unrest. How many Christians can you get around today, even among ministry or even among those that have been saved for a long time, and that you actually find that they have a rest in the Lord? Now, the first 4 letters of restoration, or the first 4 letters of restoring, are R-E-S-T. And for you to really have confidence in the Spirit of God, and for you to have confidence in the Word of God, you must possess a rest, R-E-S-T. And if there is unrest, if you want rest, you have to allow the spirit of unrest to go. And I'll even bring it deeper than that. Many times in a service, when God is moving by His Spirit, when sinners begin to get saved, believers filled with the Holy Ghost, miracles are taking place, suddenly you'll hear that every child will begin to cry at once. Every little child wants to go and get a drink. The teenagers will begin to move. And if adults are not very careful of this, they'll start to move about and it brings unrest. You know what that is? The devil has sent a spirit of unrest in the congregation. And instead of giving vent to that, you should recognize what that is in the name of the Lord and bind that, for the Word of God tells us that we have the power to, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So remember that so many of God's people have a spirit of unrest. They don't have a spirit of rest enough to stay at home and to enjoy their home or their home life. They're driven here and they're driven there. Why? Because of a spirit of unrest. They could live in the White House. They could live in Buckingham Palace. They could be married to the person that is the wealthiest person in the United States or in the world. And yet, if there is a spirit of unrest, nothing is going to satisfy, because demons cannot be satisfied. Number two, a driving spirit. Now, a driving spirit works like this. Before we came into this ministry, God was blessing in the church where we were pastoring in a certain place. Sister Duncan was teaching school. Every new family that would attend on the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, we felt as soon as school was out on Monday night, we had to call on them. We were driven to do good things, but we were driven here and driven there. And it's exactly like a motor on the inside that is going and going and going and going. And it's absolutely like you can do nothing about it. And this is a reason that America and even the Pentecostal Christians are plagued by taking sleeping pills and tranquilizers and pep-up pills and pills to make you slow down and everything, because of a driving spirit. Listen, this will drive you to a premature grave. This will wreck your nerves. It will wreck every organ in your body. And this is a spirit that, I'll tell you, there are very few without it today, because the spirit of the world is so entered into the body of Christ, and we have actually become partakers of the spirit of the world instead of being partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember this, you may be driven to do good things, but that is not according to the plan of God. The Lord has not called the house of God or the church of God to compete as a lodge. We are not to compete with any system of the world, any system of the even church system. We are to be delivered and to walk in the peace that God has given in the name of the Lord, because he said, my peace I give unto you. And if you're going to accept that peace, you're going to have to give up the opposite of peace, which is the spirit of unrest and a driving spirit. Number three, a spirit of confusion. Many homes you walk into today, my, there's such confusion. It's like a cyclone that struck. You know what I'm speaking about. There's such strife. There's such tension. Many sanctuaries that you'll visit where the Word of God is supposed to come forth, you'll get in, and instead of feeling the sweet Spirit of the Lord, instead of feeling the flow of the Spirit together, you'll sense spirits of confusion. The pastor's confused. The board members are confused. One has this against another. When another one has something else against another, spirits of confusion. When I was new in this, and as we were pastoring in this certain area, a certain couple walked in that had two or three lovely children. They were talented people, nice-looking people. And in the natural realm, we thought, well, my, these would be people that would bless the church because of their talents and so forth. Now, remember, I was new in this. But the Lord said, you watch that couple. You discern. You be very careful. It was a good thing that the Lord had given me a word of wisdom and had shown me ahead of time, because I watched very closely not to allow them to move in any way and to usurp authority. Before two or three weeks were over, you have no idea the confusion that started. No earthly person could have caused as much confusion as they began to start, but we stopped it because God had warned us. These people left a certain state that we were in. They went to another state, and this man got voted into one of the good churches in another denomination that he wasn't even ordained or licensed with. The divisional superintendent called me and said, do you know so-and-so? Are they from your congregation? I said, they visited a few times, but I said, they're not from my congregation. He said, brother, they're causing nothing but confusion. After they had left that state, they went into another state. They brought confusion from government officials, from everyone on down. Now, those people in the natural did not have power to do that. They were possessed of spirits of confusion. And when there is, when there are spirits of confusion, you can be confused about everything. There's no order in your daily life. There's no order in your home life. There's not even any order in your on your job or anything else, because your mind is driven by spirits of confusion. Number four, frustrated spirits. Many people are saying today, and I've heard them use the very same term, the different places we've gone have gone over the country, and that is this. They said, I feel like just a plastic bag has been put over my head. They said, I'm so frustrated, I feel that I could scream and tear my hair out. Now, I'm not speaking of people in the world. I'm speaking of Christian people. I'm speaking of people that speak in other tongues. I'm speaking of people that are even used with part of the gifts at least. I'm speaking of people that have supposedly been saved and actually have been saved for a number of years, and yet they are so frustrated. You know what a frustrated spirit is? in one of these messages, we're going to move in and share with you how the demons work in troops, how they have their sergeants, and how the demons have to obey the sergeants and so forth. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, first of all, because of the ministry of the gift of discerning of spirits. That's the way you learn in the spirit realm. And people say, well, I can't find a lot of that in the Word. You'll not find it unless you'll move into the realm of discerning of spirits and allow God to freely share with you by His Spirit, because all things that God knows and has and possesses in the past and the present and the future, He will share with us by His Spirit. This is the Word of God. And so a frustrated spirit is a spirit that the sergeant has said, I want you to go into a certain person, and this demon rebels about it. And they'll say, well, I'd rather go into somebody else, but they have to be obedient to their sergeant. Now, this demon is frustrated before he enters in because he doesn't want to obey and he has to. And thereby, as he enters into this person is frustrated, and because they're frustrated, they're tormented, they can't enjoy their Christian life, they can't enjoy their home life, they can't enjoy their fellowship with anyone else because of a frustrated spirit. Number five, spirits of fear. I don't believe that we've ever lived in a day and age when there have been so many spirits of fear that are being manifested today. The Word of God tells us that in the last days, men's hearts failing them for fear. People fear losing their job. They fear losing their family. They fear losing prestige in an area, in a church, in a community. Listen, there are many adults, both men and women, well-respected person, degreed people, that are actually afraid to turn their light out at night because of the spirit of fear within them. And if there was nothing to fear, they would still fear because it is a spirit of fear. They're afraid to go to the mailbox. They're afraid to answer the door when somebody comes. They're afraid there's going to be a tragic message. They're afraid to do this and they're afraid to do that. Why? Because of the spirit of fear. Fear hath torment. But remember, perfect love casteth out fear. This spirit of fear has to go for the love of Christ to come in. Because if you're going to have love, you can't have fear. Because both of them will not operate in and through the same channel at the same time. Number six, a spirit of unbelief. And with the spirit of unbelief actually goes a spirit of blindness. Our Pentecostal churches today are actually cursed with the spirit of unbelief. We have been preached that there's going to be a falling away, and I know that the falling away has taken place. We have been preached a time of apostasy, and many of God's children don't even have enough faith to believe God that they can be healed anymore. The devil has taken so advantage with the spirit of unbelief and the spirit of blindness, for they work together, and we're going to bring that out a little bit later, that it's hard for them to believe that God is even able to reach out and to save their children. It's hard for them to realize that they can have peace and joy because the spirit of the world has entered the body of Christ and has even entered many of us today. And there's a spirit of unbelief, and this spirit of unbelief has to be cast out, because until this spirit of unbelief is cast out, it will be impossible for you to believe that God will do what He says He would. But when the spirit of unbelief and blindness is gone, I'll tell you, it will be easy for you to have confidence in the Word of God. You'll have confidence in your prayers. You'll have confidence in the anointing that abides within you, that God has given you by the Holy Ghost. But the spirit of unbelief must be cast out first. Just in one of our services recently, a man was there. His wife had been delivered from demons. He had come to two or three of the meetings. People were being delivered. They were moving into the joy of the Lord. People were testifying of the faithfulness, the goodness, and the deliverance of the Lord. This man sat there, and he turned to another denominational man. He said, is this real? I just can't believe it. I've got such unbelief, I can't believe it. But as the service progressed, and as God began to move by His Spirit, this man stood with agony, and he began to confess that, I have such a spirit of unbelief, I want to believe this. He said, hey, I have seen the change that has made in our family. I've seen the changes made in my wife since she has been delivered of demons. I've seen the change that has brought to our home. But he said, I can't believe it. There's such a spirit of unbelief, and I have other spirit. I said, brother, you come up right now. Usually with cases, we take them to the delivery room or to a side room. But this, I felt led that we should stay right there. There we began to move in. First of all, I came against the spirit of unbelief. And many times when there are spirits that you don't want anybody to know, it's nobody's business but that person and the Lord and yourself, because you're ministering as a servant, as a child of the Lord. I named these spirits in other tongues, commanded them to come out. Talk about deliverance. This man began to dance. He began to rejoice. rejoiced. He began to leap. He began to skip. And I'll tell you, such a glorious liberty in the Holy Ghost. And for 3 weeks now, that man has grown and grown and grown in the Lord. Why? Because it would have been impossible for him to have entered in and to have received from the Lord unless he would have been delivered from the spirit of unbelief. Now, the devil is saying to you, it's impossible for you to be healed. It's impossible for you to walk in victory. It's impossible for this. It's impossible for that. Listen, child of God, that is a spirit of unbelief that needs to be cast out in the name of the Lord. And also that the spirit that accompanies that one is a spirit of blindness. And I don't care if you've been a Christian for 40 years or 50 years, even if you've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost for 60 years, if you have a spirit of unbelief that you are so blocked that you can't believe God, and such a spirit of blindness upon you that you can't hear by your spiritual ears, you can't see by your spiritual eyes, in the name of the Lord, I command you to receive deliverance from a spirit of blindness and from a spirit of unbelief so that the Lord can become real in your heart and in your soul, and so that you can begin to comprehend and to hear once more what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As long as there is a spirit of unbelief, it blocks your thinking, it blocks your body, it blocks your mind. And remember, demons are out to do one thing, and that is to destroy and kill, and they don't care how they do it. All right, number 7, a lying spirit. You say, do Christians have lying spirits? I should say they have lying spirits, whether it's been from childhood or from circumstances or from open areas as they've gotten older. And I want to say this in connection with the lying spirit. As you begin to move in with the gift of discerning of spirits, if you discern that somebody has a lying spirit, it does not take the gift of discernment to discern that they have a deceitful spirit. For any person that has a lying spirit, it will be accompanied by a deceiving spirit. You might say, well, how do you know that and why do you say that? Because any person that lies, it will have to be accompanied by a deceiving spirit, because they'll have to deceive to cover up for their lies. You'll know what I'm speaking about. Or first, if you would discern in a person that there is a deceitful spirit, even without the gift of discerning of spirits, you will know that deceitful spirit is accompanied by a lying spirit. Because if a person is deceitful, then they're going to have to lie to cover up for their deceitfulness. One demon never works alone. There are certain demons that will work together. They made alliances one with another to work together. And this is especially true concerning a lying or a deceitful spirit. We've had those come in, actually, that as they sit in the congregation of the righteous, people would think, well, my, those people are so perfect. Those people are so upright. Listen, we can have no confidence in the flesh. And I don't care if an area was opened 40 years ago or 60 years ago or 10 years ago, and unless you have received deliverance in that area, and those demons cast out, those demons are there, and they cause you to do things that you don't want to do, because that's exactly what demon possession is. And as I would like to mention here before I go on, it's very seldom that two demons will work alone. Because if you allow two demons to operate in your life, then there's soon a third one and a fourth one and a fifth one and a sixth one. And that's the reason it's very easy today so many times we see today a person will have 20 demons or 30 demons or 50 demons or 100 demons or 200 demons. You say, can people have that many demons? I should say they can, because as you allow them to manifest and operate through you, they'll keep bringing in until soon their captain and troops and all will move in. And that's the reason there's such a necessity for this message to go out. And this is the reason the devil doesn't even want this message to go out on tape. He doesn't want it to be shouted from the housetop. He doesn't want it to go out over the radio. He doesn't want it to go out over television, because he knows that this message is going to unmask his powers, and it's going to bring deliverance to God's people. And instead of God's children being possessed and driven by demons, we are going to recognize that greater is he that is within us, which is the Spirit of God, than he that is within the world. Number 8, and this one may sound strange to you, a withdrawing spirit. You know, people that are so pent up and they're so withdrawn, it's impossible for them to give forth. It's impossible for them to fellowship with other people. They're miserable. And if this spirit is allowed to operate for a long enough time, this is the reason that person's mind will soon become so clouded, and they will soon be so withdrawn that it will be impossible for them to fellowship or to work with other people. And that's the reason many of them will land in an institution, because they're not able to talk, they're not able to speak, they're not able to do the things they want to do, because of a withdrawing spirit. You say, well, how does a withdrawing spirit act? This is exactly the way it acts. I've had people in my congregation, I especially think of one couple in a certain city. They began to do a certain type of ministry, and God was using them in this ministry. But just because everyone else in the congregation did not do that same ministry and had the burden for it, they felt that these other people weren't quite as spiritual as they were. Now listen, that's a dangerous thing. If God calls you to do jail work, you be obedient and do jail work, and don't think that everybody else is not spiritual because they're not doing jail work because you feel the burden to do it. If God gives you a burden to do street work and have street meetings, don't you dare think that everyone else isn't as spiritual as you are because they're not doing having street meetings along with you. If God places that burden upon your heart, you be obedient to the voice of the Lord. If the Lord calls you for nursing home service and for nursing home meetings, don't you dare believe that everyone else isn't as spiritual as you are because they're not moving in that type of ministry. Now, you will minister according to the ability of God, according to the ability that God has given you. And just because God leads you in one line, don't you expect the Spirit of God to lead every other person in that line. And we've come to the place in the house of God, there's been so much judging because we've judged for what we've done and what the others haven't done and what they've done and we haven't done. And we've tried to measure our spiritual lives by the stature of another person. And where this is absolutely contrary to the Word of God, we don't say, well, so-and-so is going to make it in. There's certainly room for me. Our life is to be measured up to the measure and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other person, remember that. And so the person begins to feel that they're super spiritual or that God has his hand on them more than anybody else. You watch out for that because that will create and open an area for a person to actually have a withdrawing spirit. And people that get a withdrawing spirit, they usually sever from fellowship and relationship with other people. And the Word of God says, forget not the assembling of yourself together and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other in this Christian realm. I need you. You need me. I need the other brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's the reason I'm such a firm believer in body ministry, because the body of Christ needs each other. All right, number 9, and this is going to touch on many. A demon of buying. You said, what? A demon of buying, yes. Many people will go to a store, they'll buy and buy and buy. We've read in newspapers that a certain lady has died and she's had 200 dresses in her home that she's never even as much as worn once. What is that? That's a demon of buying. America is cursed with a demon of buying because we can buy everything on contract. We can go so in debt that it's almost impossible for many people, or they feel it's impossible for them to tithe to give God his portion. They feel it's impossible for them to give to a missionary program. And we are so bogged down with contracts and with payments that if something happens that you can't work for a week, you're actually frustrated. And this opens up an area for a devil to move in, as we've mentioned before, with a frustrated spirit, because we're so bogged down with the spirit of the world. Now, this is the spirit of the world that has taken hold of the children of God. And the Word of God says to owe no man anything, because he knows that if a person is so bogged down, it's going to bring doubt, it's going to bring fear, it's going to bring unbelief, it's going to bring worry. And when worry, there's actually a spirit of worry. And when that area is open, the devil doesn't care what area or what way that he gets in. The thing that he's concerned about is getting in any way that he can. So with those things that we don't need, people are not content just to have one home today and have it furnished, but we must have a beach home. We must have a mountain home. We're not concerned with just one car. Years ago, people were grateful if they had one car. Now we have to have a town car and a country car and another car. Then on top of all of this, we've got to have a boat. We've got to have all of these other things. All of these things are material. The material world has become so important in the realm of the Christian life today. And saints of God, hear me. This is the reason the Word said, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. You said, well, don't you believe that God's people should be blessed? Yes, I believe that God's people should be blessed. But listen, the Word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And I know from my own experience, how can you seek the kingdom of God and put him first if we're so bottled down with all of these contracts and all of these things that we've gotten so involved in? I wish I'd known this 10 or 15 years ago, or even 19 years ago when we were first married. I'll tell you, there'd been a lot of grief and a lot of heartache saved if we'd have known this before. Remember that the devil has sent out a troop of buying demons. It's easy to charge this and charge that. It looks like it's going to be easy to pay for, until so many are so bogged down with that if you are, it causes worry, and it actually has an effect upon your communion and your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been caught in that predicament such as we have in the past, repent of it, ask God to forgive you, get deliverance from that, walk in the Spirit and the power of God. Let's begin to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and know that the Lord has not just come to give us life, but He's come to give us life in abundance. And if we put the Lord first, and then these other things are added unto us, we can enjoy them because they're the blessings of the Lord. And yet we haven't moved in with a buying spirit, but we've sought Him first, and then we can enjoy that which God has given us. All right, number 10, and this is so predominant all over, the lust of the flesh. And again, may I mention in this tape, I mention it in another one, a lot of times young people, teenagers, will think I can sow my wild oats. I can run around with this, I can have this illicit relationship, I can commit fornication, I can do this and I can do that, and when I get married, marriage is going to take care of it. And again, may I say here, I'm getting down on the ground where many people live today. They can get married, and yet that man is not content to stay home with his lovely wife and family. He still has others on the strings he's running around with. He's so involved. And when people get to know it, they say, well, how can he with such a lovely wife? It's because an area was open to uncleanness when he was single. And just because he got married did not satisfy that, because you cannot satisfy demons. Remember that. You cannot satisfy demons. Demons are spirits going about. They get no satisfaction in just going about. So they want the inner person. The only way that they can manifest themselves is through a person. And so as they get in a person, they can never be satisfied. And this is the reason that person can be driven to adultery. That person can be driven to uncleanness. And it's hard for them to control or do anything about it until that demon of lust, that demon of the flesh, that lust of the flesh will be driven out and that area closed. Now you remember this young man. You remember this young woman. You boys and girls should know this. This should be shouted from the housetops. Listen, be thou an example, even in thy youth. And people say, with everything that is going on in the world today, it's impossible for me to stand for God. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because greater is the Spirit of God than the spirit of the world, and greater is the Spirit of God than all these demons that are in the world. But the place that we must come to is to realize that if we have open areas, and many have open areas, that you will be driven in those open areas, and in that demon of lust and uncleanness. I don't care if you get to be 80 or 85 or 90 years old until that demon has been cast out in the name of the Lord. I know this is speaking strong, but young people must know this. You guard your life. You discipline the flesh. And this is where the human spirit comes in. You allow the Spirit of God to give you grace to walk as an example. Don't you open up areas when you're single, because if you do, that is an area that is open for demon possession. Number 11. A demon of appetite. Many times we see people that weigh 300, 400, 600, and 800 pounds. In the natural, that would be impossible. And these people eat and eat and eat. I've had people come to our meeting, they say, well, I eat not because I'm hungry. It's just a nervousness. I eat and I eat. That is a demon of appetite. That has upset your nervous system entirely. If you have that spirit, that is a spirit that will cause your stomach to go off kilter. That is a spirit that will work on your liver. It's a spirit that will work on your gallbladder. That's the way these spirits work. They'll take a hold of certain parts of your body and work until they destroy that which God has given you and which should work in the normal way that God has intended. Now remember this, we can pray until we're blue in the face. We can receive deliverance from demons. We can begin to walk in God. But until we follow the principles and the commandments that are given in the Word of God, God will not go against His principle for Wilbur Duncan, for you, or for anyone else. Now you remember that. I don't care if we've been saved since we were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 years old. God will not go against divine law. God will not go against His principle. God will not go against the laws that are given in the Word of God, and there are certain eating habits that God has set up. God has intended that we get a certain amount of rest at night, and this is a reason that many of God's people are sick today, because we have not been going according to the Word, according to the laws that are given in the Word. Now you see, you're really getting on a touchy thing. Listen, God's people are going to come forth and be strong and well as they're delivered, and as we will return to the old path, the path that is given in the Word of God, and we're not living in a day when God has changed His law for you or for me or anyone else. When we see this, we're going to come forth strong, and the weak shall say, I'm strong. Hallelujah. All right, number 12, a demon of oppression. If a person comes to me and they say, I have a demon of oppression, I have a demon of despondency, I have a demon of discouragement, I could come against that demon of oppression and cast it out. I could come against the demon of discouragement. I could come against the demon of despondency. But now remember this, and I want you to catch this very slowly. And I'm going to try to talk slow so that you will now. I could cast that demon of discouragement out. I could cast out that demon of despondency. I could cast out that demon of oppression. But unless I got to the root of the cause of why that person is discouraged, why that person is oppressed, why that person is depressed, then those demons would go out. But unless you would get to the root of the trouble and cast out the thing that is causing them to be discouraged, those demons will move in with seven more demons with every one that was cast out. You remember that. So when people come to me and say, oh, I'm so discouraged, I want you to cast out a demon of discouragement, I said, now listen, we're going to have to go beyond that. There's a reason that you're discouraged. And many times it will be something that happened 20 years ago. Many times it will be some tragic thing that happened 15 or 10 or 5 years ago. And as the word of knowledge will begin to operate, we'll say, yes, such and such and such and such happened. And this opened an area for the demon to come in. So we get to the root cause. We cast out the demon that is causing the oppression. We cast out the demon that is causing the discouragement. We cast out the demon that is causing the oppression. And then we move on in, and then we cast out the demon of discouragement. We cast out all the rest of the demons that are working with this one. And then that person can go free in the name of the Lord, not facing that again, but standing in rejection in the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to hear me right now very closely. For you that have, even for months, you've been despondent, you've been discouraged, you've been oppressed, and you think, oh, I wish somebody could cast these demons out of me. Right now, allow the Spirit of God to go way back. Why are you discouraged? What is that area that has been opened up that it's impossible for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine forth in you, and that from your innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters? What is that thing that the devil has plagued you with that keeps you down, that keeps you in despondency, that as people will look upon you, they see darkness in your eyes. They do not see the light of Christ, but they see darkness in their eyes. Allow the Spirit of God to probe deep. And as I mentioned before on this tape, you take the other tape that we prayed the mass prayer of deliverance, and allow the Spirit of God to move upon you. And as a word of command has been given in the name of the Lord, that thing that is plagued you, and that root demon that has caused these other demons to come in, spit that out. Allow it to go in the name of the Lord. And then I'll tell you, you'll know that in your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Because remember this, as God's Spirit begins to move and flow, the Spirit of God will not flow through unclean areas. They'll bypass those. Now remember that the Spirit of God will not flow through unclean areas. And that's the reason we become a whole man as the demons are cast out, as the Spirit of God comes in. And then as the Spirit of God begins to flow in a supernatural way, you'll actually feel it from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Why? Because the Spirit of God is flowing through every area of your life. I feel this as I minister to you. I feel hungry hearts that are listening in. I feel that the Spirit of God has directed those that this tape should be into their home, and those home meetings and the group meetings that you're sharing this with, because there are people that are in need. There are people that do not need to be cast down and to put aside. But there are people who have cried out for deliverance and how long, oh Lord. Listen, this is the day of deliverance. This can be the day of beginning. I don't care if you've been placed for 40 years or 60 years or for 10 years or for 5 years. This is the day that the Lord has spoken that He would bring deliverance. And He said, I'll do a quick work. And He said, it shall come forth in righteousness. Thank God, it shall come forth in a right standing in God. Now the next tape, we're going to continue on from where we left off here, from the demon of oppression. We're going to move on into many other demons, and we're going to show you the scripture. We're going to share experiences with you that are not going to help you, but they're going to help others to move in the name of the Lord. Now remember, He worketh all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in all. You that have charge of these home meetings, you believers that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can be delivered. You can begin to cast out demons in those people that have been coming to your home meetings. You can move in, as I mentioned before, with your children, with your family. You can bring deliverance to them in the name of the Lord. And remember, after you have brought deliverance, always move into spiritual activity. Always move into declaring the word of the Lord, and that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. For remember, we're not waiting for Him to be Lord, but Jesus Christ is Lord in our lives as these heirs are claimed. He becomes Lord in my flesh. He becomes Lord of my mind. He becomes Lord of every area of my life, because I have been set free in the name of the Lord, and to He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Remember that this is the year of Jubilee, where all the captives are set free.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.